This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm joined with my co-host, John.
Hello.
And this week, we're talking about Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yes, it's been such a while since I watched the Kung Fu Panda movies, the trilogy, and I loved them so much when I was growing up. Like, Kung Fu Panda 1 was such a masterpiece, and I loved how Kung Fu Panda 2 was so emotional, and then Kung Fu Panda 3 was a beautiful ending to Po's arc for this journey to become the Dragon Warrior. And now we're here for the fourth installment, a continuation of the Kung Fu Panda story. If so, I wonder where it goes, but I'm not really in for it, especially what I've watched for the fourth movie. And me and Tom, we watched it today.
We did. It's been 8 years since Kung Fu Panda 3 came out, which is kind of crazy.
Like,
it doesn't feel like that long at all. I kind of thought the franchise was done. I thought, you know, we've made our trilogy, we've capped it off, much like House Train of Dragon. I know that's getting a live action remake, but that story, that animated story. But no, we're back. And I think that this film, it's just not it. It wasn't horrifically bad or anything. It just wasn't good. And I think when, you know, all of the other films, as you say, I agree with you. The first one is a masterpiece. The second one is brilliant as well. The third one was not anywhere near as good as the first two, but it's still good. I don't think this really had much. I mean, it says it in the title of the video. It feels like Kung Fu Panda 4 has kind of lost the awesomeness.
Yes,
like,
the awesomeness. Oh, that's a great title. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has lost the awesomeness. It just lost the magic for me. Like, I just loved watching those movies, and they had like some amazing philosophy to offer throughout the trilogy about exploring yourself and what it means to be the Dragon Warrior for Po. And I thought it was pretty inspirational to watch those movies. And now it's just like, why do we need this? Why do we need a fourth Kung Fu Panda movie, which feels like it's done from the third movie? Like, everything's wrapped up. It was great. But no, I just feel like it's just pointless. Why do we need another one?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of sequels or spin-offs, they come under the criticism of, why do we need this? Nobody asked for this. And while I certainly think that a lot of the time, the sequels, reboots, spin-offs can really work. I mean, look at Andor, look at the legacy Rocky films, or something like Toy Story 4. A lot of times you think the story is done, but then they'll bring something else and you'll be like, oh no, actually, there is more of a story to tell. But I don't think that this one did that. Like, I didn't feel like, oh yes, of course this is where the story had to go. Of course this adds so much more to the first three films. As you said, Po's arc from the first film to the third film, becoming the Dragon Warrior and then seeing where that took his life and his exploration of his own heritage and achieving inner peace. Like, that is a really, really well-told story across those films. And I do think this film has some really interesting ideas of where to take that. Like, you know, Po can't be the Dragon Warrior for his whole life. He can't be this always in the action kind of guy. At one point, he's got to step back. He's got to be a master. He's got to become that kind of mentor role that he had in Shifu and in Oogway. I mean, we kind of saw it in Cars 3. It's kind of like a similar thing where Lightning McQueen is like, no, I am the racer. And then he kind of realizes throughout that film that, no, he can still be worthy to himself personally while not being the center of attention. It's a similar kind of thing. But I feel like what this film kind of does with it, it doesn't really warrant itself. I don't sit there and think they made this story worthy of telling. It just kind of feels like a bit of a wet fart of an installment in the franchise. I don't know if they're going to do any more. I kind of expect they will. But if this was the end, I would definitely be really disappointed.
Yeah, it just feels like it had nothing. It just feels like it's forgotten the world of Kung Fu Panda, forgotten about like the foundations for Po's arc. And it just feels like, now we're here. Do we really need to explore that? As you said, could this be the end of it? I'm like, well, that's going to be disappointing because the film just lacked everything what Kung Fu Panda had to offer in those films. And it's just about fun. It's about humor. There's humor in those films and heart as well. It's like there is emotion in these trilogy. And I was watching throughout the movie, I was like thinking the best moments from the trilogy, like when Po realized about the scroll, you know, there's no secret ingredient, or when Po fought against Lord Shen with the cannonball. It's just those moments that really defined Poe's character development, and it just really made me realize how amazing this trilogy is. And it just feels like watching this is so sad.
Yeah. It kind of feels like a poor man's version of the first three. You have the epic moments, you have the one-liners, you have the jokes, you have the heartfelt things, you have the action, but none of it feels quite as earned, none of it feels quite as spectacular, none of it feels quite as impactful. There was a moment at the beginning when you get your first scene and then you get the title Kung Fu Panda 4 and it plays Poe's theme in like a really like triumphant, like hard-hitting way, and I was like, oh my god, this film is gonna cook, we are in for a treat right now. And then it really just never elicited any of the same emotions. And that's not me saying, oh yeah, it needs to be a complete nostalgic eliciting those same emotions as the first three. I just mean that as a story, I didn't feel like anything for any of it. I wasn't annoyed, it wasn't like getting me angry or anything. I just kind of was like, I was content with it. I was just like, this is fine. And I feel like, especially after loving this franchise for so long and getting that emotional reaction just from the music in the title sequence, this could have been so much more. Shall we go into spoilers?
Oh yeah, actually, let's go into spoilers, because there's a whole TV show that was literally looking at Kung Fu Panda. It's Legend of Awesomeness, and I watched this show.
Yes! There's been quite a few TV shows, actually. I found out that, like, you know, similar to House Train and Dragon, which has a few TV shows set in between films, there's like an expansive universe of Kung Fu Panda series.
The Furious 5.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that was so good.
But yeah, Kung Fu Panda 4, briefly explain the plot for those who don't know.
Poe is gearing up to become the spiritual leader of his Valley of Peace, but also needs someone to take his place as Dragon Warrior. As such, he will train a new Kung Fu practitioner for the spot and will encounter a villain called the Chameleon, who conjures villains from the past.
I feel like that right there is a perfect leaping off point, because the main thing that I kind of feel about this film is that the whole we have to find a new Dragon Warrior storyline feels like a gigantic waste. And reason being is because, and people have been saying this ever since the first trailer came out, but Tigress is right there. I mean, she's not in the film, but like, if you're going to do another Dragon Warrior, if that is something that has to be done, if that's the story you want to tell about Poe teaching another generation, the Furious Five feel like the perfect characters for that. There is so much to explore and there is so much to kind of take them. You know, think about it, like, you know, Tigress especially thought that she was next in line in the first film. She has had to grapple, especially in that first one, but also in the second and third, she has to grapple the fact that she isn't the Dragon Warrior, that Poe was that person. So for her then to get her chance to actually be that, what does that look like? That is interesting. But what they do here is they introduce this new character called Zhen, played by Awkwafina, who I don't think is nearly as interesting.
Yeah, I agree. They set that whole storyline for future references for Tigress to become Dragon Warrior. And that being such an amazing storyline to explore more about Tigress. I mean, you get to see that in The Furious 5. If you haven't watched The Furious 5, like, the secrets about it, it's so cool. It's great to see the backstories of it. But with Tigress, I think that would be so much better to explore that. But no, she's not in it. Well, she is at the end of the film. And it just really annoyed me that the whole film, they blurred past The Furious 5. And The Furious 5 actually helped Poe to realize that he has people to help him to become the Dragon Warrior. You know, he needs skills. And Poe, he needs to realize there's people that will help him. Like Kung Fu Panda 2, that explores that so well. But then here we are in Kung Fu Panda 4, they just go, oh, sorry guys, The Furious 5, they've gone somewhere crazy. It just feels empty without those guys, because they're the ones that really helped to add so much heart and wit into the first two of the trilogy. It adds so many layers and so many dynamics as well. So that was just a big hit. I was like, oh my god, ah, no, please, I need The Furious 5. It's because they add so much lore to the story and world building. Yeah, it's just so sad.
Yeah, I mean,
to
like,
that.
It reminds me of Quantumania. Now, hold on there. So, you know,
please do not remind me that. A film, Tom, please.
One of the reasons why Quantumania feels so strange as a third film in a trilogy is because it doesn't have any of Scott's friends, his ex-wife, you know, like any of those kind of other side characters. They kind of populate the world. They make things feel a little bit more alive. Even if the Furious Five weren't in this story, the fact of just even having them there, bringing back the voice cast just for maybe like one scene, just to make it feel like they are there, it's really frustrating whenever a film or a TV show does that kind of like, oh, such and such isn't here right now. And it's so painfully obvious this isn't a story decision, which I'm pretty sure maybe the director spoke about it being a story decision. So, you know, maybe it is, but it never felt right. And I think in the case of Zhen, I really enjoyed the idea of exploring this new city and exploring a completely different place. The Kung Fu Panda universe, for the most part, has stayed in like rural China. And so to kind of go to a city is really interesting to kind of explore that for a little bit. Really cool. Another director kind of talked about wanting to make a film that kind of explores like the underwater. We know that there's like a dolphin Kung Fu master. So like, what does that look like? And I think that, you know, this shows that there is an expansive universe that we can explore. But I did feel like Zhen was a little bit too like, I grew up in the streets and I'm learning all these things, and it's like it felt a bit just like nothing. It didn't feel like her character was anything other than a stereotype to me, someone who was like, oh, I grew up on my own and I can't trust anyone, but I secretly have a heart of God. It felt like nothing that I hadn't seen before. It actually reminded me of characters in Raya and the Last Dragon, which is another film with Awkwafina in.
Oh yeah.
And it reminded me of that, but I felt like that film had a lot more heart. It had a lot more going for it. Whereas this, I don't know, I never believed Zhen as a friend of Po's, or even like the new Dragon Warrior. I didn't believe that. It felt like it was being forced. Again, you know, yeah. You have characters who are more organically set up for this role, but it felt like, for whatever reason, maybe that was because they wanted to, maybe it's because they had Awkwafina, I don't know. But they certainly pushed this role into the film, it felt like.
I agree on so many levels, and they could have set up a longer runtime to explore the friendship between Zhen and Po. It just felt very rushed. The whole film felt very rushed. It had such a weird pacing. You didn't have time to really settle in to the emotion or wonder about the characters, you know, where they are in the story. It just felt like you were just on this really fast roller coaster. You didn't have time to think about the humor. You didn't have time to think about the characters. It just felt so rushed. You just didn't really go deep into the world building. That was so annoying. It just felt like they're trying to do something fun with it, but they completely ran over the word fun and just tried to do something with that. They just trample over it and like, okay, let's find something to do here. And it doesn't land all the emotional beats, because the emotional parts of the story, they'll just get interrupted by a joke or something funny that will happen on screen. So there's literally no time to settle in within the story.
Yeah, I kind of felt overwhelmed by the jokes at times. I don't want this to feel that all we're doing is comparing this film to the previous films. But when the previous films are so strong, you know, you kind of can't help but look back to them. And they did have a really good balance between emotion, the heartfelt stuff, and the comedy. And the comedy works as well. And, you know, I don't think that this comedy necessarily is on that same level. And it does feel like it's toned up a little bit. And so, yeah, you're right. It does kind of feel like they're emphasizing this fun journey, but it doesn't really hit that. It was quite tiring. I agree. I don't think that that is, like, exclusive. I did think there is some fun stuff in this. Like, you know, in general, the action wasn't really anything special, but there were a couple of really cool action scenes. Like, the action scene in the bar, I thought was really fun.
Mm.
And there were a couple of times when, like, there's, like, a chase scene through the city and they, like, go into, like, a China shop and they're, like, you know, trying not to break anything. There are fun moments and there are cool moments. It's not exclusively underwhelming stuff. Particularly, two of the returning characters I thought they did something really fun with was Po's two dads. I thought they were really, really fun to kind of see, like, because in the third one, you kind of get this feeling of jealousy from Mr. Ping. He's like, well, you know, I'm Po's dad. I'm the one who's raised him. Why should I be giving it over to Po's biological dad? But in this one, you see them vibing. See them having a good time. You know, these like being co-parents, just loving Po and all that. And that's, you know, it's really fun to see. And they have a fun little side quest that takes them on. I thought that stuff was really fun. But then on the other hand, you have the villain, the chameleon, who I just think is a huge waste. It's a waste of Viola Davis as an actor. You know, she is just fantastic and can have a lot of presence, but they don't really give it a chance for that. They don't really do anything super interesting with the whole, like, taking other villains' powers. And also, the chameleon's whole motivation, just being like, I want power, it's painfully conventional, tropey. It just doesn't feel like anything new. And that really sucks, because the Kung Fu Panda villains, you know, Tai Lung, who they bring back in this film, you know, is great. Like, he's fantastic in the first one. You know, Lord Shen in the second one, brilliant. Even General Kai, you know, as a force to be reckoned with. You know, these are all fantastic villains. The Chameleon doesn't come close.
Yeah, I agree. They just completely wasted the villain. And with the villains, they are so interesting and they have a really amazing backstory in the movies as well. Tai Long is my favorite, you know, villain out of the three films. And it's just like how crazy powerful he is. The one thing that was really annoying was the power scaling for this movie, because the trilogy really showed how Po was getting powerful and he learned every technique that becomes the Dragon Warrior. But in this one, it's just that Chameleon is like, I'm going to take your powers, Tai Long's fighting moves, and all the other villains as well. And it just feels like, was that just bait for fans who loved, you know, the villains, and they're just returning for like 5 minutes in the film? And it just feels so underwhelming. And loads of people were hype for Tai Long to return. Not gonna lie, I thought it was pretty cool to see Tai Long appreciating Po to become Dragon Warrior. He realizes that Po is quite powerful. But yeah, it's just the Chameleon that it just has this confusing power scaling. And she's just like, oh, I want to be powerful. I'm like, why? Why do you want to be powerful? It's just like, what's the motivation? It's just very one-dimensional. There was nothing to really explore that backstory, because she didn't have a backstory at all. She didn't really had a say to the story. She didn't have a time to shine to really get the audience to understand her, like the motivations.
Yeah, why is Tai Long so threatening? It's not because of his physical presence. It's because you get that backstory and you see how it affects Shifu. And then you also see at the end how it affects him. You know, there's that brilliant scene in the first film where he is throwing all those things at Shifu. Kind of like, who made me train until my bones cracked? When Oogway said, no, you did nothing. Like, you made me think I was the most special person in the world and then turned your back on me when I needed you most. Like, you know, that level of emotion really comes through. I don't feel like Chameleon really had any emotion. And yeah, I agree with what you're saying about the power scaling. I think Po, he has reached this point where really nobody can stop him, and he is the ultimate kung fu warrior. And so I do think it was a good idea to have it be Zhen going up against the Chameleon. They kind of attempt to have Zhen and Chameleon have a bit of a relationship. Does that work? It kind of works, I guess. But there's that whole bit at the end, like, where Zhen defeats Chameleon and Po's like, haha, I could have done it the whole time, but I didn't. It's like, okay, again, this could have worked, this idea of Po like stepping into a mentorship role, a role that he doesn't even want. But then the film is also trying to like have its cake and eat it too, being like, well, he's still a mentor, but he can still kick butt. And it's like, well, I don't really know how that works. There's a moment where it's a quite good moment, actually, where Mr. Ping talks to him and is like, Po, you know, change can be good in life. I mean, you know, like, I don't always keep the same menu in the restaurant because you don't want things to get bland. Life is all about change and trying new things. And from there, Po is just like, oh, cool, I'll be a mentor then. It felt like there were more steps on this journey for Po to take before he can truly assume that role. But the film, as you said, it rushes into everything. Like, the idea that Tai Lung and all the other villains, like, respect Po, that's really interesting. But they don't do anything with that. It's just kind of like, hey, we respect you, bye. There is an idea that when you go to the spirit realm, you can get inner peace. But we just don't really do anything. And I guess it's just all, it felt like missed opportunities to me. I think if they do make a fifth one, and as I say, the director has said that he would like to explore more, the director has said that they would want to do a Furious 5 film, which I do think would be really cool. But like, yeah, I do think that if they make more, they should think about where they want it to go and how to really consider how they do it. Look at Puss in Boots from last year, which is fantastic and a really unexpected sequel that is probably one of the best of the medium. They should really think harder. Not they didn't think harder this time, but it did definitely feel such a cut below the other films.
It just feels so underwhelming. It's so disappointing just to see that. And it's like, they build up a lot of hype around this film. Why go for that direction rather than what are the other different possibilities about the Kung Fu Panda world? And it's such a wasted direction for this. So I am wondering, you know, what you said about like what different aspects they're going to explore, you know, underwater or maybe more the spiritual realm. It takes a lot from Chinese culture, Buddhism as well, and spirituality. You know, it's just exploring about yourself and your potential. And there is no secret ingredient to become who you want to be. And I think that's just like the most powerful message, you know, out of the Kung Fu Panda world. It's like pandas are seen, you know, very lazy. They don't do anything really. And seeing that, it's like Po can do anything. It's just like really inspirational. But here, it just feels like he's done all that and there's nothing. He's just like there. So it's just very annoying to see that. that.
Absolutely. I do think that there is something to be said about the marketing and, you know, drumming up hype, and DreamWorks bringing back a franchise that kind of did feel like it had met its conclusion. And that actually brings me to an email that we have here from Samuel Masson, who says, "Hello there. The release of Kung Fu Panda had me thinking. Animation studios seem to be pushing their franchises more in recent years, and it hasn't always made for good stories. Maybe it's just me. Toy Story 4 was a bit of a letdown, and a fifth one on the way doesn't seem great. Despicable Me, the same thing. So really what I'm asking is, do you think animation studios should focus on good original stories rather than drawing out more moneymakers in existing franchises? Thanks for the pod, gents, and take care, Sam."
That's a very good question. No, they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't yes. do like a carbon copy of the same stories. And it's just like, why go for that when you are an amazing company that has, I mean, look at Studio Ghibli, you know, they don't have like sequels to that. They look into stories that go into so many different directions. And I think that is like one of those animation companies that really shines and never shy away from making original stories. With here, Kung Fu Panda, they've done a really well thought trilogy of understanding Po and his journey, but it's way past now. It's way past that line of like, where should the story continue? And I feel like you should leave that alone if the story feels rounded up and they've done everything that they can. So I believe that, no, I don't think they should continue more. They should focus on original stories, and that will help to like broaden out the connect with other people, or, you know, to explore more of what artists has to say.
Absolutely. I think that's just it, isn't it? Like, you know, when you think about so many of these studios, I think DreamWorks and Pixar and Disney are the three maybe biggest in the public consciousness, Illumination as well, I guess. But like, you know, the biggest things you think about is their original stuff. You think about WALL-E, you think about Inside Out, you think about Shrek or Megamind or the first Kung Fu Panda or the first House Train of Dragon or Encanto or Frozen or Big Hero 6. You think about like original things, especially in recent times. Nobody's thinking about Incredibles 2. Or Finding Dory, or Toy Story 4, or Frozen 2. Think about the last few DreamWorks films. We've had Kung Fu Panda 4. We've had Trolls Band Together. We've had Bloody Megamind 2, which I know didn't release in...
And we're not going to review that.
Didn't really even release in cinemas. But by all accounts, that is a travesty of a film. Yes, at the same time, there have been some really, really great, you know, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish is a masterpiece. I think it's incredible. I don't think that necessarily making sequels is always a bad thing. No way. And I do have to disagree with Sam. I did really like Toy Story 4. I did think it was a really good finale. But I do agree with Sam in the sense that we're now making Toy Story 5. Like, where are we going with this? When it comes to Illumination, for instance, we're getting Despicable Me 4 and probably even a third Minions film, and like those films just kind of keep on coming and they don't really have anything to say. But if I think about recently, so many of like the most memorable animated films in the last 5-10 years have been those original things, even if they are like adaptations. You know, Spider-Verse is an adaptation of comics, but it's brilliant. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio is another one. There are even films that aren't strictly animations, but I mean like Marcel the Shell with Shoes On is mostly, yeah, it's brilliant, and it's mostly just stop motion animation. The medium can be so much more than what companies seem to do. Companies seem to just like grab onto those big money makers and then make sequels so they can have more of that. That's not something exclusive to animation, but we really can have special. Think about Nimona last year, adapted from a comic, brilliant art style, was just fantastic. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, Elemental. Just last year, we had so many. The Boy and the Heron, Suzume. We had so many incredible animated films that were original and were really well-liked. And, you know, not all of them will be the most popular. Not all of them will be Mario, which made $1 billion. But I do think that the medium is more than Kung Fu Panda 4, absolutely.
And I just realized that there was loads of Kung Fu Panda content. They just released like on Netflix, which is crazy because we had the Awesomeness show. It's just crazy how popular this whole film series is, and it just broadened out to like different TV shows and Netflix as well. So it's just like Kung Fu Panda is an amazing film. If anyone hasn't seen this, I highly recommend. This is like one of the films to like really appreciate animation. And to be really honest, this really got me to animation when I was really young. And it was just like so much fun just to watch this on the big screen. And it still slaps. It still slaps to this day. And with Hans Zimmer's score, there's so much heart just to go back into it and so much joy just to revisit these films. Yeah,
it's just brilliant. And I think that this, I would welcome them making more if those other ones, you know, had something new to bring. So, you know, we will see. Kung Fu Panda 4, what are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it 4 out of 10.
I'm with you on that. 4 out of 10. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can... Kung Fu Panda 4, 4 out of 10. You can, if you're listening on YouTube, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we're going to be doing Monkey Man, which is Dev Patel's directorial debut, like an action.
Ooh.
And this film is, by all accounts, going to be awesome.
It's going to be so cool just to watch this film that is fully directed and fully created by no other than Dev Patel. So it's so cool just to see, you know, an actor just given this so much creativity. It's just so cool just to see that. And what does he have to offer for this film? We're excited for it. Cannot wait to talk about it.
Yeah, produced by Jordan Peele as well, which is brilliant. And you can send us an email at ourstimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Monkey Man. Ask any questions. We'll be recording on Saturday next week and we'll answer it right here on the podcast.
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at OuterTimeFilmPod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Asval, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all awesome on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to Al James Mayer for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything.
Brilliant.
Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.